Amen. Saints of God, please also turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism, which is also found in the red booklets, to Lord's Day number 20. Lord's Day number 20. This is found on page 19. Again, these are helpful teaching tools that articulate and summarize what the Bible teaches about each particular part of doctrine. In this case, for today, regarding the Holy Spirit. And so these next few Lord's Days, we're going to be covering the role of the Holy Spirit, who He is as a person, and what He does in our lives as the church. And so please respond to the question, Lord's Day number 20, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that He is co-eternal, God, with the Father and the Son. Second, that He is also given unto me by true faith and makes me a partaker of Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and shall abide with me forever. Amen. So the Catechism really highlights the person of who the Holy Spirit is and the work of the Holy Spirit. The first thing we got to understand is that the Holy Person is not an it, it's a He. Well, the Holy Spirit is a He. He's not an active force, like Jehovah's Witnesses claim. I actually have a copy of the New World Translation, and when you read verse 2 of chapter 1 of Genesis, it talks about how the active force of God is the one who hovered over the waters. And you go on to the New Testament, all the mentionings of the Spirit is lowercase because they deny the Trinity. They deny the Holy Spirit as a person. But the Scriptures clearly reveal that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, a person who acts and who speaks. He is the church's comforter who will lead us to all truth according to God's Word in Christ Jesus in John 14:26. He speaks directly to Philip, leading him to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:29. He intervenes and He directs the apostles to where they need to go in their missionary journey. And so the book of Acts can really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, just as much as it is the Acts of the apostles. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we give in to our sin, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. We are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit along with the name of the Father and the Son. So that is the person, at least a summary of the person of the Holy Spirit. He is co-eternal with the Father and the Son. He is equally God. He is equally worthy of glory and worship. But what are the works of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says in John 3:3 that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us born again. We who were dead in sin have been made alive by the proclamation of the gospel, which we have heard and believed, because the Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes to see with eyes of faith. He is the one who transforms us, He washes us clean, and He renews our minds. He causes us both to behold Christ and to be transformed by the work of Christ. The apostle says something very, very interesting in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 and onward, that the ministry of the Moses, the ministry of the law, had its day in glory, but we now live in the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will not fade away. In fact, it is infinitely more glorious than the ministry of Moses. And by the Holy Spirit's work, we with unveiled faces, Paul says, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So in a very real sense, saints of God, we worship and glorify the Holy Spirit when we exalt and worship the Son, not the other way around. And lastly, the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us day in and day out. We are under construction, you can say. And the Holy Spirit has got His hard hat on. He's the one fixing our broken pipes. He's the one swinging that wrecking ball, tearing down the skyscrapers, that is, our idols. Paul calls us to walk in the Spirit so that we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our sinful lusts and the Spirit will always conflict with one another, and we experience that now as Christians, don't we? The work of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and the like. That's a long list. That means there's a lot of sin in our hearts that the Holy Spirit needs to work through and in a sense destroy and put to death. These are the types of sinful deeds that we entertain and fall prey to, and the very things of the Holy Spirit will not allow us to continue practicing comfortably. We won't sin. It doesn't mean that we won't sin, but we won't be satisfied in living in our sin. That's no longer us anymore. We will fight and fight and put it to death. But that desire to fight comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not as though that the Holy Spirit just reigns on our parade. He just convicts us of our sin and makes us as miserable as possible. He replaces it with something better. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits that will become more and more evident for those who belong to Jesus Christ. But as much as this is a battle against your sin, do not doubt that, and don't doubt it's going to take the rest of your life, but it is a battle you will in fact win. Not because of you, but because of the one who sends you His Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit within you, believer, is the guarantee that your sin will not overcome you. You are not a slave to your sinful passions. You are not hopelessly addicted to your idols. Why? Because when God begins a work, you don't leave it halfway unfinished. He doesn't throw up His hands like, you know what, I'm tired of your slow progress. Saints, there is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in you. They will say that the devil takes no days off, but the devil is busy because he knows he's already lost. How much more when the Holy Spirit, who will not stop until He finishes what He has started. That's true for you, believer. Take that to heart. Amen.